What's my most favorite thing to do? To talk. Every week I'll do just that. We'll feature national and international movers and shakers, experts in their fields, and all around interesting people with something more than great to say. No holds barred. We'll tackle every topic imaginable, especially for women over 40. This is Conversations with Sima. Please stay tuned. Today we'll be talking with an interior designer about the latest trends, the importance of making your house a home and a safe haven, and how you can renovate it and do any number of projects on any budget. Remya Warrior is a New Jersey-based interior designer with a master's degree and over 13 years of experience. She specializes in kitchen design and believes the kitchen is the heart of everyone's home. Remya is a keynote speaker who talks to audiences about the benefits of interior design. She firmly believes that everyone's dream home is well within their reach. So welcome, Remya.
Thank you, Sima. That's a nice introduction.
So let's talk briefly about your journey to this place and your current passion for interior design in homes.
I was born and raised in India. And in India, if you are a good student, you end up becoming like an engineer, a doctor, or a lawyer. So if you're not smart enough, then people start suggesting something else for you. So I wasn't smart enough, obviously. And I had clearly no idea as to what I wanted to do with my life. So my aunt suggested, how about doing this interior design course? And I went to a very nice, reputable all-girls college because I was always crafty, I was always creative, and I was always painting. So once I got there and started doing the interior design course, then I sort of like started finding my niche. I just realized that, oh my God, I'm actually good at something. And the best part is I made really good friends. And I think from then on, I started realizing the importance of just being surrounded by the right company. And then I did my master's there. And then when we came to this country in 1997, I actually came in as a dependent on a visa. So I couldn't work. And moving to a different country, different culture, all that was very different. And the adjustments and everything that we needed to make was pretty difficult initially. But I did realize that change is something which we should embrace, because change always means progress, right? So after all these years, though, I have to say that I'm very, very blessed because we have been able to design our perfect lifestyle. We are so blessed to be around the people whom we want to be around, and we enjoy the life that we really want to live. And honestly, the lifestyle happened after we redid our 1950s home, and it started making me see myself in a very, very different way. So now I actually have a living room that actually tells our story of where we came from, a master bedroom that makes me feel like pampered and just luxurious, a spa-like bathroom, a beautiful and a functional kitchen where like every single inch of my kitchen actually works for me. That's the kind of lifestyle that we have been able to create.
And so I'm guessing that means that in creating it for yourself, obviously, this is your passion for creating it for others.
Absolutely. It just dawned on me. I have always worked for other people, but the importance of having the space is something when you start living in the space, that's when you really realize it. Even if it is just something which you have been doing it as work, you don't really understand how it is unless you actually live in that space.
So I know that you happen to be fascinated by kitchens, and let's talk a little bit about that fascination and what do you think a kitchen represents for a family?
Sima, I have to tell you this. Every single time we have people over, all of us end up in the kitchen. So I think the kitchen becomes like the heart of your home. Now, I got into kitchens when I was working at Direct Buy, and it happened because nobody else wanted to touch the kitchen. There was just always so many problems associated with our kitchen department, and I actually learned kitchen design because I had to clean up the mess by the previous designer who was working there. Now, knowing that all the things that can actually go wrong in the kitchen makes me respect and have a sort of reverence for the kitchen design. Obviously, the kitchen design part of it, it is a lot more intense than interior design, and it is more detail-oriented. So if you're not careful, you can lose a lot of money because it's very expensive. And I believe that's why a lot of interior designers don't actually get into specializing in just kitchens alone. Now, it is very, very challenging, and I like challenges. So kitchen design is more intense It is more detail-oriented, and it is more challenging, and I sort of like challenges. So I have decided that if I'm going to do something in life, I want to do it right. Otherwise, I just don't do it, no matter what I take up. So once I started doing kitchens, I also realized how much of an influence it had on people's lifestyle, on the families that I ended up working with. And you do end up working with families for a longer time. So they sort of become a part of you, and you become a part of their family. And I sort of like really enjoy the authentic connection that this creates for me.
Let's talk a little bit about kitchens, just to give one more amplification to the listener. Do you think the kitchen is the heart of a home?
Oh, absolutely.
So
it's definitely part of my home.
And does it supersede the living room or the family room? You really think a kitchen should be the central focus point?
I wouldn't say that. Most people whom I help, as far as kitchen design goes, I know for them, kitchen plays a very important role. So most of the people who are really into cooking and entertaining and wanting to be around family, kitchen is the heart of their home. I won't necessarily say for every single person. Like if it is somebody who doesn't like to cook, maybe it's not as important to them as their family rooms can be. But no matter what, like when you have people over, when you want your family to be there, you have to provide food. And so the kitchen is one of those rooms in our homes that get used the most. And obviously, it is also sort of like 30% of your home's value actually is in the kitchen.
Let's talk about how do you work with your clients. Take me very quickly through the process.
If a client is calling me, it means that they want either help with their living space, right? It could be a living room, a family room, or a kitchen. It doesn't matter which room. My process of trying to get to know the person, that is the same. So I do have my first interview process, and I meet people through Skype before getting to their space and to look at how their space actually looks like. I actually interview them through Skype because you can get to know a lot more about the person by talking to them than when you are already in their space and you're trying to look at their space. I do take it as an honor when somebody asks me into their home because it's such a personal space, and being asked to help with their dream home is something which I take very seriously. Once I know that we are a good fit, then I have like a three-step process that I use with my clients. Those three steps is what help me really get to understand the client and try to bring out their own personality into their home. My first step is like the dreaming stage, where I'm collecting all the data about their lifestyle, about what's important to them, and we are trying to tap into their subconscious at that time. So when they're looking at pictures and trying to find out, okay, what is it that represents them, there is a process to all that. And also coming out with a workable budget. Because no matter what budget you have, you can actually afford a designer. That's my first step. And the second step is the planning stage, where we are assessing all the data that is collected from the previous stage so that we can have a clear vision of what we want to accomplish, right? So once you have a clear vision, then we can proceed with like a design plan, and then we make a step-by-step plan to it. And my third stage is the execution stage. So once we have the design plan with you, and especially for somebody who feel like they have a tight budget, that is something which once you have the step-by-step plan, that is something which you probably can do yourself because you already know exactly what you need to do. So that is one of the things that I encourage people to even try to do themselves. And that dealing with the right contractor, getting the right contractor, communicating with the right people, the project management of the entire thing falls into that stage.
Let's talk more about what the current en vogue colors are. What do you see as the current trends? How long do trends stick or last? Tell me a little bit about granite versus marble. I mean, I'd like to know about the colors. I'd like to know about the stones. And then lastly, tell me a little bit about market trends and how someone would get their money back, whether they're doing this on a short-term basis because they want to sell or a long-term basis because they want to stay.
That's a very cool question. One of the things is, like, if somebody is trying to sell their home, that is so important. If it is a short-term plan that you have, if somebody is looking to sell their home within the first 5 years of them buying it, then it is purely a transaction, and it's not something that you want to be attached to at that stage. So then you have to know the pulse of what is happening in the industry, the trends of what's happening. So let me start the trends by talking about the three paint colors which they have decided for the year 2017. Sherwin-Williams have come out with a color called Poise Taupe, which is a very dark and deep and rich taupe color. Now, that has been based on everything being like earthy and rustic and that kind of a color. Let's talk about the Benjamin Moore color. They came up with a color called Shadow, which is like a very, very deep purple. I would even say that it's black with a little bit of a purple undertone. And the third color is the Pantone color, which is called Greenery. And this is actually a very bright yellow-green. Now, what I do see, which is common in all these three colors, is that the color is pretty intense, no matter which color you look at. And all the three are completely different colors, and it has a completely different feel to it. But what is common in it is that these colors are very, very saturated with the pigment. So that is something which I do see in the industry coming in the next, like at least for the next couple of years, I think that is going to stick. Now, do I actually see myself using these particular three colors in the home? Probably not. I have to be very honest. I don't like any of the three colors as it is. But they do bring out a lot of things within the industry and how it is going to be progressing. So one thing that I do see with the kitchen cabinets is that a lot of people are going very, very dark. I see a lot of black cabinets. I see black appliances being used more. So the black in appliances is definitely coming back big time instead of just using stainless steel. As far as kitchen cabinet goes, we're talking about more of black and painted cabinets, especially some of the custom colors that's out there right now. White cabinets has been popular and it's still going to be popular, so that's definitely a very, very safe bet. So for somebody who wants to sell their house, I would probably suggest white because that's something which is always going to be popular. It's not going to be going out of style. Now, I do see a lot of gray cabinets being used, so that's very, very trendy. That's another thing which I would probably suggest for somebody who is really into trends. I think it will still stay. It is actually increasing in popularity. So that is something which I would probably suggest that people could use. Another thing that I have seen with the cabinets is even when you have an 8 feet ceiling, or especially when you have an 8 feet ceiling, the cabinet's going all the way to the top and the moldings are touching your ceiling. And I love that look. I think that has been going on at least for the past 5 years. And I think that's going to continue. If you have a nice, huge kitchen where you have like 9 feet, 10 feet ceiling, then I see a lot of stacked cabinets being used. You can either have another set of cabinets on top and then going all the way to the ceiling, or you can have cabinets in different levels so that visually it looks really cool. Now, in the bigger kitchens, I do see a lot of the two-tone kitchens and even three-tone kitchens, because you want to split a little bit of it. And like just a white kitchen with every cabinet looking the same doesn't look as exciting as when you're using two or three different colored cabinets. And everybody wants to have their own individuality shine through in the kitchen. Now, another trend that I have been seeing is metals, the use of metals everywhere, and not the brushed nickel and the satin nickel that we have been used to. I see a lot more of the golds and the brasses and a little bit more of the copper coming through. So I do see that in the knobs and handles. I see that in the use of faucets, sometimes even in the sink. I see copper sinks that is being coming in. Those are some of the things which I believe are going to stay trendy for at least a couple more years. As far as the granite versus Korean is actually coming back a little bit more because it had lost its charm and nobody has been doing Korean for a long time. I think they are coming back with a lot more nicer colors. Now, granite has been popular for the past couple of years, but now we see quartz is getting much more popular. And initially when quartz came in, it was just basically the exact same thing throughout the slab. So there wasn't a lot of variation. And that's one of the reasons why granite continued to be so popular. Now, marble is being used a lot more in the European kitchens, and I think we are seeing quartz colors has been changing. So right now, instead of the same kind of look or the consistent look that we saw in quartz, that's going away. And the quartz is becoming a lot more exciting because they are taking like a Calcutta marble and putting that on the quartz. So it looks very much like marble or very much like granite, which has these different movements in it, but it is a lot more easy to maintain. So people are definitely spending a little bit more extra money to get that quartz in. The one thing which I think is going to gain a little bit more importance is the backlit glass top counters that I have seen. I think that's going to gain popularity because of the lighting that goes into it, and it just looks so cool.
Lighting, how important is that to the overall look, whether it's a kitchen or the house in general?
Oh my God, lighting is probably much more important than a lot of the other things, especially if you are having a tighter budget. I would say splurge on the lighting. Lighting can really make or break a room. If you have a gorgeous kitchen but you don't have enough money to spend on the lighting, it's just going to look like a regular kitchen. It's not going to look gorgeous. Right. Whereas if you have the lighting and the lighting coming in through different directions and in different ways, then any, even like a regular normal kitchen can look much more exciting. So I just love looking at lighting from a very, very different angle. That's like one of the big parts of what I do as far as my design sense goes.
Come to me now, to me, rest your head for just 5 minutes.
We're talking today with New Jersey-based interior designer Remya Warrior. Let's talk a little bit more about your own spirituality or your calling. How do you draw from yourself in helping your clients? And again, how does that help them create a space that they love?
The spirituality is something which I've been with my spiritual guru for the past 19 years, and I do believe that all of us have come to Earth for some reason. And it's not just to reproduce, have kids, and just go about our lives. It is about trying to become that best possible version of ourselves. So I do see spirituality hand in hand with personal development. Like, for me, it is very important to understand, okay, how do you want people to remember you? And what do you want your legacy to be? So I really want people to remember me as someone who comes into your house, helps you feel the love, the connection to your home. And to me, the love part is very important. So my spiritual guru, again, like, she says that her religion is love. And I see that everybody comes to her. And it's because of the kind of love that she's able to give everybody. So that's what I want to be able to surround everybody with. I mean, she also says that if you want to be closer to God, the best way for you to get there is to be of service to others. And for me, my work is worship. So I'm here to make this world a more beautiful place. So how do I transform that into the environment? I do believe that, or into the work that I do, I sincerely believe that we are a product of our environment. So when we have an environment that reflects us, and that supports our dreams, that supports us and makes us realize who we are, then it sort of really does a lot for us. Now, we're talking about like the physical, the benefit, the financial benefit. Those are things which you see immediately. But there are some that you don't see or that you don't take into consideration when you are initially starting out. And that's like the reflection in your lifestyle and how you start feeling about yourself when you have that kind of an environment. And I think that's very important. And I like to make this analogy of like when you're walking into a motel versus when you walk into a hotel, right? So when you're walking into a motel, it's there, it's convenient, but you just go in, you don't feel excited. It's just like, it's just there, right? Whereas when you're walking into a hotel, now we're talking about excitement. Now, the minute I walk into a nice hotel, my eyes start dancing around. I want to look at the lighting. I want to look at the sofa. I want to look at what kind of upholstery is on the chairs. I want to look at their window treatments. I really want to look at everything else. And we have just started out with their lobby. Now, imagine what is waiting for you in your room. I mean, it's just so exciting. Unfortunately, in America, we sort of live like we live in a motel. Our homes are there, and it's convenient. There's nothing wrong with it. But we are not really inspiring ourselves in our homes. And part of the thing is, like, on the outside world, there isn't a lot that we can control. There isn't a lot of things that we have a say in. Whereas inside your home, you are the master of your house. You are the queen of your house. So you need to be able to feel that about yourself. And when you do, it is very, very different. So I want you to have that hotel experience, except it needs to be something which is much more emotional to you, much more spiritual to you, so that it really supports your lifestyle and it really supports your dreams. We are all here to do something big, and we can do it.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Remya, you're on fire.
Thank you.
So that's a lofty way to approach this, and it certainly has benefit and suits you in the way in which you live your life. But there may be people out there for whom they don't get in touch with that aspect of themselves, or they don't know how to get in touch with that. What are some of the tools you would recommend for your potential clients to help them get this vision, to help them decide what is a safe haven and how can they create it? What tools do you suggest they use?
So one of the things is you really have to sit and analyze your environment. Right? You have to sit and see, okay, what are the things that are working for me? What are the things that I already have? How can I start working with something? I mean, what are the things that is inspiring me? And then we start looking a little bit more deeper. My whole plan is to actually bring out that emotional and that spiritual thing within you. And the only way to do that is to do that work yourself. So that's why I try to talk about interior design as part of a personal development route, because you do end up finding a whole lot about yourself. Now, here's the thing. One of the things that I have realized doing this is that most of us make our decisions based on what is in our subconscious mind. And that just comes like this. So we're not really putting a lot of thought into it. The beauty of it is when you're able to tap into that and find out what it is that can actually inspire you and what is it that brings out emotions in you, that's when you can take that out. And then once you know what it is, then you can create a plan for yourself, right? So when you have a plan or when you have that vision, and to create that vision is not easy, it does require work. But once you have that vision and once you know and have that step-by-step plan as to, okay, how can you achieve it, then it's very easy for people to get there.
But what are some of the tips and tools you would offer them? Do you suggest they journal? Do you suggest they pray? Do you suggest they make a vision board? In practical terms, how do you help get them there?
So vision board is actually a wonderful idea, because I do have people start looking at pictures, and that is part of the process of trying to look at pictures which start talking to you. Once you have like a lot of the pictures, then you start looking at what is common in those pictures. What is it that actually is attracting you? Because once you start once you take a picture and you start looking at, okay, do I like the couch in it? Do I like the table that is in there? Do I like the lighting that is in there? actually it's a very cool thing because people come to me with like 20 pictures. And once I start doing those exercises with them, they start saying, oh, I don't really like that table. I don't really know what it is that I like in that picture. But once we start really digging into it, then it's easy for people to start understanding, oh, okay, so what is the common thing that is making you start becoming attracted to those pictures? Right? There's something that attracted you. That's why you have that picture in your vision board or within what you have. So I would probably say start with the pictures. Also, from your conscious part of your mind, you have to look at what are the things that is working for you, things that are not working for you, what would your ideal lifestyle be? So it's about actually pretty much answering all those kind of questions.
How exciting is this? I mean, you get to help people on a pragmatic level, obviously enhance not only the value but the benefit of the things that they live with, and you also help them kind of unlock themselves at the same time.
Yeah, that's why it's so exciting to do this.
So we're running out of time, and I'm wondering, what one thought would you like to leave the listener with today?
So the one thought I would probably say is, you might already be living in your dream home. It's just a matter of looking at your space in a different way. And dream homes are so very much within your reach. Anybody can do it. But we have to take the effort to create that design plan. But once you take that effort, it is possible to get your dream home and within your budget. It's just a matter of knowing where and how to spend that money.
We've been talking today with an interior designer about the latest trends, the importance of making your house a home and a safe haven, and how you can do renovations and actually find this path to renewal in renovating and working and repairing aspects of your home. Do you think that's accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
Remya Warrior can be found at rwarriordesigns.org. Thank you so much, Remya, for joining me today. What a powerful conversation, and I'm hoping the listener can take some value out of the necessity and maybe the hope that they can utilize an interior decorator or designer in the same fashion to just enhance their lives.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sima.
I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40, Conversations with Sima. Thank you so much to the listener for joining us today. And until next time, I hope you take care.